Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. Today, Larry Stamm will be here, and Josh Davis will share a special message on this Good Friday. Did you know that Watchmen on the Wall is listener-funded? This program you're listening to right now is here because of you. Your prayers and financial support allow us to bring topics and information that few others will discuss. Thank you for your prayers and continued financial support. And as we begin our time together today, I want to encourage you to visit the Resource Center on our website, swrc.com. There you'll find over 1,000 books and DVDs by the nation's top teachers, Bible prophecy, biblical mysteries, and the latest archaeology and apologetics are all found at swrc.com. And remember, when you purchase a resource, you are supporting SWRC and Watchmen on the Wall. At swrc.com, you'll find the latest resources from Micah Van Hus, Josh Davis, Lonnie Shipman, and Billy Crum. That's swrc.com. Check it out today. Now, here is today's host, Clayton Van Hus.
Well, thank you very much. I'm your host today, Clayton Van Hus, and I have once again with me a very special guest, again, one of my absolute favorite people in the world, a dear brother in Christ, Larry Stamm with Larry Stamm Ministries. Larry, thank you for being here.
Clayton, it's a blessing to be with you and the audience today.
It is. We always have such a good time, Larry, you and me.
We do have a good time.
Yeah,
it's always a joy to chat.
They should probably
chat.
Not let us do this anymore.
Yeah, maybe they should let us do it more. This
Ooh,
is fun. Yeah,
I like that idea. Larry, there are some things I want to talk to you about today. Can you just really quickly, for those who don't know you, those who've never heard you, just tell us who you are and what you do?
Well, I'm a Jewish believer in Jesus. I came to faith in 1987 when a gentleman on an airplane said, you know, you're Jewish and you believe in God. And I said, yeah. And he said, well, I challenge you to ask the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Ask God, as you know him, if Jesus is the Messiah. And I did, Clayton. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, God says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things you know not. And I cried out to a God I believed in, and he revealed that Jesus was and is the Messiah. And I came to faith in Jesus and came to believe that he actually was and is the Messiah, that he died for my sins and rose again from the dead. And that was the beginning of my faith journey. I put my trust in Jesus then. And over the course of my Christian life and in these 3+ decades of knowing the Lord and walking with him, I've been a missionary to my Jewish people, namely 6.5 years in the 2000s in New York City. I was a local outreach pastor. The last 10 years, my wife Lori and I have done Larry Stamm Ministries. We are an evangelism equipping ministry. We also teach Jewish roots of the Christian faith to help Christians better understand the gospel so as to more effectively share it. If people want to learn more about our ministry, they can go to larrystamm.org. That's larrystamm.org.
Excellent. So some great resources there. And of course, you can find a lot of Larry's books and videos on our website. You can go to swrc.com. That's swrc.com. Go visit the bookstore. And Larry's got a ton of great resources in there. And Larry, you and I have actually worked together on some of these resources in the past before we even realized that they were going to be with Southwest Radio Church. You have a passion for sharing the Jewish roots of the faith with the nations, with Christians who maybe don't understand some of that background. And one of the projects we did that I thoroughly enjoyed is we shot a video about Hanukkah, the two miracles of Hanukkah. Tell us what that's about, because people listening, okay, so Hanukkah, that's the Jewish Christmas, right?
It's actually in the Bible, believe it or not, John chapter 10. Jesus is giving testimony of himself in John chapter 10. At the Feast of Dedication, the Hebrew word Hanukkah literally means dedication. So Hanukkah is found in the Gospel of John, interestingly, and it's not the Jewish Christmas, but it has become commercialized, and in America especially, as an alternative, if you will, to the commercial Christmas that blew up in the United States in the middle of the 20th century. You know, Christmas really wasn't a big deal in America until the late 1930s, and then gift giving became a huge deal, and then Christmas morning, and now We're living in 2023 as we record this. This is very similar to Hanukkah. Hanukkah is not a major holiday on the Hebrew calendar religiously and spiritually, but here in America, as an alternative, I can tell you a little, it has grown, obviously, in proportion. So Hanukkah for the American Jewish community is a big deal, and gift giving. A little bit about that, I can tell you, growing up in a Jewish home, my mom had remarried a Gentile man. He really loved Christmas. We had decorations. And one time when I was a youth, my mom brought home a little plastic tree and decorated it. And I'd never seen one of those. And I was like, Mom, what is that? And she said, oh, son, that's a Hanukkah bush. And I was like, oh, okay. But Hanukkah really is about religious freedom and the fight for religious freedom. Actually, there was in 168 BC, a wicked king named Antiochus Epiphanes, and he didn't like the God of Israel, and he didn't like the Jewish people, God's chosen people, and he desecrated blood on the holy altar in the temple. He erected a huge statue of himself, and he said, worship me, I'm God. And there was a group of people called the Maccabees, and they rebelled. And basically, 3 years later, in 165 BC, on the 25th day of the Hebrew month, there are no coincidences, but on the 25th day of the Hebrew month of Kislev, the Maccabees' army of 3,000 defeats Antiochus's army of 47,000. And that was a miracle, if you will, in and of itself. But the miracle of the lights, sometimes Hanukkah is called the Festival of Lights. The legend, we don't know this for sure, but the legend of the light, the miracle of the light, is that it took 8 days to consecrate the temple. It took 8 days to light the Ner Tami, the eternal light in the temple, 8 days to consecrate it. And apparently there was only enough olive oil to light the lamp for one day. The light lasted 8 days, hence the miracle of the lights. Hence Hanukkah, also known as the Festival of Lights. In Judaism, growing up in a Reform Jewish household, which is basically a liberal expression of Judaism, we didn't learn about the Feast of Dedication. We knew it as Hanukkah. And could I have told you the story of the Hanukkah that I just told you? Probably not. But what I could have told you is Hanukkah's great because I get a toy for 8 days. It's really good. I get a gift every day for 8 days. So that's a little bit about Hanukkah. In John chapter 10, there's a Jesus is teaching there. So there's a little bit of Hanukkah background historically for your audience.
Well, you know, I used some of the things you taught me as we made that film about Hanukkah. When I was in seminary in Texas, studying biblical archaeology, we had a museum. I was the assistant director of the museum, and we had a section dedicated to the intertestamental period, and we talked about Antiochus IV. And so I would share the stories that you shared, you know, and I learned interesting things. Did you know, of course, he had the statue of himself in the Holy of Holies, this abomination of desolation that we're looking forward to another. Well, I say looking forward, I mean, you know, we foresee it.
Yeah, that was a foreshadowing. That was really a preview of the abomination of desolation found in the book of Revelation, which we can talk about.
And if you look in Greek temples, what is in their holy place? It's a statue of Zeus sitting on a throne. Well, that's what Antiochus' statue was. It was a seated Zeus with his face. I mean, this guy thought a lot of himself. So it's interesting, you know, these little pieces, bits and pieces that illuminate. We need to do some more work on this.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'll just throw this out for the audience because it's a fascinating play on words, but Epiphanes means manifest God.
That's right.
The Jewish people coin an Epimanes, which means madman.
The madman.
The madman. So there's a play on words and you go, wow, that's pretty cool. But, you know, actual words, yeah.
Right. It's a fascinating thing. So if you understand, you know, you say, well, okay, Hanukkah's not in the Bible because it came about during the intertestamental period. And it is in the Bible when Jesus goes for the festival, the Feast of Dedication. So, and it's interesting that, you know, it was there at that temple at a different time when Jesus told them in no uncertain terms that I am, that he is God. And they got very upset, the Pharisees. But you think about it, they remember a man who came and put his statue in their Holy of Holies.
That's right. There was a man who claimed himself to be God. Think about the timing, again, text context. Mm-hmm. Just 200 years earlier, thereabouts, a man in the temple claiming to be God, Jesus will say, before Abraham was, I am, they tried to stone him. They know clearly Jesus didn't claim to be God. Oh, yes, he did.
Oh, yeah.
He told the Samaritan woman in John 4, I who speak to you am he, the Messiah, she says, when Messiah comes. He'll tell us all things. And he says, before Abraham was, I am, a reference to Exodus chapter 3, where Moses tells God, hey, who shall I say will send me? And God says, I am who I am. Tell them I am sent you. Jesus would tell them in John 10, in verses 22 through 33, which I exposit in the two miracles of Hanukkah. Nes Gadol HaYashah means a great miracle happened there. And that's one miracle we talk about in the historical event of Hanukkah. But a great miracle happened here in my heart. An individual who was lost and now was found, a person who was walking in darkness, now walking in light, a person who rejected Jesus and only took his name in vain the first 23 years of my life. Now I call him Messiah, Savior, Lord, and God. Nes Gadol HaYashah means a great miracle happened here in my heart, and hence the two miracles of Passover. And Jesus will give testimony about himself in that John chapter 10 passage.
No, I'm sorry, this is a little off track, but ever since you've explained this to me, anytime I see a picture of a dreidel, I look to see if it's got a sheen or a pay. So I know if it's a Israeli dreidel or if it's somewhere else in the world. It's amazing.
Yeah.
That's fun stuff. So,
exactly.
Okay, let's talk about the Jewish feasts and festivals. There's a lot of talk, a lot of debate, and we'll just use Hanukkah. It's that time of year. It's the holidays. Let's use Hanukkah as our example. Believers, Christians, those Gentiles from the nations, people like me, should I stay away from maybe celebrating or trying to light a menorah or Hanukkah on Hanukkah, or is that something that it's okay for me to do?
That's a great question. In fact, in my travels, teaching and speaking at conferences and at churches, that's a common question I'll get. Should we as Christians celebrate the feasts? And I'll say, we are free. We are free, Romans 14 tells us, to celebrate the feasts if we want. But I also posit that by saying the New Testament, it doesn't prohibit nor command us either to keep the feasts or not keep the feasts. So I'm not skirting the question, but I want to kind of couch it and help people understand that we don't observe the Torah. We don't keep the feasts because we as Christians are living under the new covenant economy. Jesus raising the third cup, the cup of redemption, at the Passover Seder in Matthew 28 says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. We as Christians are living under the new covenant. The Mosaic law, the old covenant, was given to Israel at that time, at that place, to accomplish specific purposes. In fact, if your readers will read the book of Hebrews, the writer will compare the new covenant with the Mosaic covenant. And I countered, because I wrote in Jewish Roots of Christianity, I said 13 times when comparing the two, the new covenant is referred to better than the old covenant. In fact, the writer of Hebrews will coin the old covenant obsolete. That's not to say that there's not value in studying the feasts of Israel and to celebrate them. The Bible says, whatever you do, do as unto the Lord. But Paul rightly wrote in his epistles, he wrote that the feasts of Israel are types and shadows.
Right. Okay.
But the substance is Messiah. So the Bible tells us, and Paul will also write, whatever you do, do as unto the Lord. So I just want to finish up this line of thinking and encourage the believer that don't think of observing the feasts or keeping A, B, or C in the Torah. Think of celebrating the feasts and remembering the person and work ultimately of Jesus. And the Bible says, whatever you do, do as unto the Lord. So religiously, externally, whatever we do, if it draws us into a deeper communion with the Lord, Clayton, go for it. If it draws you to put on a yoke of, let's say, legalism, Phariseeism, a list of do's and don'ts, and get your brownie points with God, run as fast as you can away from it. So there is a brief teaching. It's not necessarily black and white, because what I've shared is much liberty and much freedom for the follower of Jesus Christ as it relates to the feasts of Israel. But we need to understand, we're living in under the new covenant economy, not under the Mosaic law. So with that, I probably said enough for now. It's your turn to talk.
No, that is beautiful. That is illuminating. That is enlightening. That is uplifting. It's freeing.
Yeah,
the Bible
is
full. The New Testament
is
full of liberty.
That's right.
I love it. So, okay, I'm going to give you a challenge at the end of our discussion. All right, so be ready for that. right now. So if you want to know more about the feasts and festivals, go to swrc.com. Take a look there. Look for the videos and the books that Larry is selling there. Our guest is Larry Stamm, the one and only. So go to swrc.com. Look for those. Just study and learn and be enlightened and be happy. And I really like what you said. You feel free. Feel free to remember and to commemorate and to celebrate, but do not put yourself under that yoke. I believe in the Bible we read it as Judaizers.
Yeah, Paul says in Colossians 2, don't let anyone judge you regarding new moons and Sabbaths and festivals. He writes the greatest chapter, I believe, in Christian liberty in the New Testament. That's Romans chapter 14. And I would encourage your listeners to open up Romans 14 in light of the discussion we're having and read it in regards to the context of should I or could I or can I as a Christian celebrate the feasts of Israel? And I say absolutely go for it, but not to observe, not to keep A, B, or C under the Mosaic law, because we as Christians are living under the new covenant now, not the Mosaic covenant.
Right. Okay. So as I hear you, I like what you're saying. Be very careful. Do not put yourself under the law. Paul talks about things like that, like what good is circumcision or what good is this or that? I mean, you're what good is the sacrifice of Christ if you're just going to go back and put yourself under that? So we don't want to do that. But if I do want to celebrate, if I want to be joyful in seeing what God has done through the past and maybe seeing some things about him. Now, I'm just a Gentile dude. I'm a Christmas guy, right? I mean, I grew up with a Christmas tree, not a Hanukkah bush.
Yeah, but when you do a Passover celebration with me, when we do a Seder meal together, it gives you a greater appreciation for the person and work of Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Hence, the beauty and the value of celebrating the feast, not observing under compulsion, but celebrating because you love the Lord and you want to commune with him and learn more about him in these kind of unique ways. I hope your audience understands. Yeah. I'm all for celebrating the Lord. I like to have a Passover Seder and rejoice in that way and rejoice and remember in what the Lord has done. I like to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles and erect a sukkah booth and remember God's faithfulness. So yes, but am I under compulsion? Do I feel commanded to do so? Not in the word. Now, if my spirit convicts me, if the Lord convicts me in my spirit to do A, B, or C, and I commend you to do the same, if your spirit convicts you, we have a God-given conscience. And so I may have the liberty to do one thing and you not, or you may feel the freedom or the compulsion in your spirit to do one thing and me not. This is the beauty that we have and the freedom we have as Christians. And once again, Romans 14 is the chapter to understand Christian liberty in regards to these issues.
Excellent. Romans 14.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's where I want to go to look, to understand, to put things into context.
Yes. But for you and others who may be Gentile believers in Jesus and want to know more about these things, should we, can we, do we?
Absolutely. So once again, our guest has been Larry Stamm with Larry Stamm Ministries. Larry, once again, tell us how we can get in touch with you, how we can find your resources.
We're on Facebook. Find us at our Larry Stamm Ministries Facebook page. We're pretty active on Facebook with a lot of teaching videos. I put out 2 short teaching videos a month, and we post a lot. They can find us also at our website. Our website, a lot of material there, larrystamm.org, LarryStamm.org, larrystamm.org.
Excellent. Larry, thank you so much. And now we're going to be looking forward. And here's the cool thing about Larry. When Larry says, I'm going to pray about it, he means that. He's not going to do something the Lord does not direct him to do. And I think that's one of the cool things about Larry. So you can find his resources on swrc.com. So come and join us and visit us at swrc.com. Get to know Larry. He's a wonderful human being, a wonderful Christian. Larry, once again, thank you for being with us.
Clayton, a blessing to be with you and your audience.
Available for the first time, the entire Columbus, Ohio Prophecy Conference. All 12 speakers, 20 total presentations, 1 complete DVD set. Speakers include Larry Stamm, Clayton Van Hus, Josh Davis, Larry Spargimino, Bill Federer, Donald Perkins, Greg Patton, Micah Van Hus, and others. Topics include secret societies, invisible war on the saints, Jewish roots of Christianity, the earth as it was, unveiling the Antichrist, one world update, and much more. Included in this complete set is Jonathan Kahn's live presentation on the Josiah Manifesto. Order the complete Columbus Conference DVD set today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Here's staff evangelist Josh Davis.
On this Good Friday, we pause to reflect on the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for the sins of the whole world, so that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He paid the penalty that my sins deserve, that your sins deserve, that the sins of the whole world deserves. And yet he laid down his life as a willing sacrifice for us. And praise God, he did not stay dead, but he rose again from the grave. And he did all this to fulfill specific Bible prophecies at the perfect time in human history. The Gospel of John often speaks about the hour that Jesus came. And oftentimes it says, my hour is not come. And then in chapter 12, he says, my hour is come. In John chapter 16, he bears upon this as he prophesies and predicts his own death and resurrection. I want to read this powerful scripture and tie it together with some other wonderful verses that remind us of this sacrifice that became the greatest victory that the world has ever seen. In John 16, verses 19 to 22, Jesus is explaining his death and his resurrection to his disciples before it happens, and he uses these words to describe these things. Now, Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him and said unto them, do you inquire among yourselves of that I said a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me? Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. There's that phrase. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And you now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Now, my wife and I have 2 elementary age kids, and I remember sitting by my wife's side as she gave birth to both of our kids. There was pain, there was anxiety, there was nervousness leading up to their birth. But after their birth, it was all smiles as I got to hold each of my kids in my arms for the very first time and take them out to meet the grandparents and meet the family and friends that had gathered there at the hospital. What joy and what celebration, what vibrancy filled that place where once there had been pain and nervousness and anxiety. Jesus draws on that same picture and says that as a woman is in labor, as she's giving birth, there's sorrow, there's pain, there's travail. But he says, after the baby's born, everyone is joyful. And he uses that as an analogy of his own death and resurrection. He said, your sorrow is going to be transformed into joy. He says, I will see you again. This death is not final. This death is not the end of the story. I'm coming back. And he promises his resurrection and prophesies his own resurrection from the dead. He picks up on this in the very next chapter as he prays to the Father, a very deeply intimate and relational prayer that Jesus prays to the Heavenly Father in John 17. Consider the first 5 verses of this powerful prayer of Jesus. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. There's that phrase again. This is the time. This is the reason that I came into this world. This is the purpose that I came into this world with. The hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So he says, I have finished this work. I have completed the task that you gave me. He knows the cross is future. He knows the resurrection is future. But in this prayer, he encapsulated all as one and says, it is finished. And we know the cry from the cross that reverberated down through the ages, contained in John chapter 19, verses 28 to 30. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that all things were now finished, it comes from that same root word, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar. They filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Jesus is alive. And because of his death and resurrection, we can have eternal life. He paid the debt of our sins. He paid the price of sins. And I want to leave you with this question. Have you received the gift of his grace? If not, please do so today. We thank God for his sacrifice for our sins, and we will celebrate that this Sunday as we celebrate our risen Savior.
The entire Columbus, Ohio Prophecy Conference series is now available. All 12 speakers, 20 total presentations, all on one DVD set. Speakers include Larry Stamm, Clayton Van Hus, Josh Davis, Larry Spargimino, Bill Federer, Donald Perkins, and many others. Topics include secret societies, the earth as it was, invisible war on the saints, unveiling the Antichrist, Jewish roots of Christianity, and much more. Also included in the complete set is Jonathan Kahn's live presentation on the Josiah Manifesto. Order the complete Columbus Conference DVD set today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order the set at our website, swrc.com. Lord willing, we'll be back here Monday, ready to once again bring clarity to the chaos. Head into the weekend with the encouragement that God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners just like you. Visit swrc.com.